Well, hello, and welcome to After the Sermon. This is a podcast designed to help us at Bethany go deeper into Sunday's message for the purpose of application and also just to help us wrestle through some of those tough, tough questions. I'm Tammy DeLau, and today I'm joined with Pastor Thad Harless and Pastor David Baxley. We started a new series a couple weeks ago entitled Passionately. Sunday, you will be preaching our second message. I know, David, this is your heartbeat, discipleship, making disciples, that discipleship lifestyle. Why don't you give us a quick flyover and then we can dive deep, the three of us.
Well, I think first thing is that for some reason, because it was Labor Day weekend, if people did not hear last week's message, the first one to the series that Pastor Thad brought, I want to really encourage people to go listen to that because it really laid the foundation for where we're going this week. I think without hearing the great challenge and the call that came to us as a body, that this could feel almost a little out of place, you might say. But I think where your call was to us last week of really the phrase, what was your key phrase again? I don't want to screw it up.
Oh, it's just, you know, the reason why we want, the elders want, staff want people to be able to passionately follow Christ is because there's no other way to do it. There's no other way to follow Jesus. And so I think when we understand that emphasis individually, then the next question is, okay, I understand that I need to follow Jesus passionately. I can't have this undivided life, all of these things. Then the next question that follows that is, okay, so how does that play itself out? And as we look at our vision and mission statement, passionately following Christ together, you know, how does that play out? And so I think that sermon leads into this sermon, kind of sets the table, focuses this sermon to say, okay, this is how we do this. This is how we would want to make disciples. This is how we want to live as disciples as we passionately follow Christ. So once we understand, okay, we agree. We need to passionately follow Christ. We can't have a divided life. We've got to follow him with everything that we have, and it's everything. All right, now tell me how to do that.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And even as you say, the reason we passionately follow Christ is because there's no other way to follow Christ. Now, as we come into that, and if we're going to say we passionately follow Christ, we have to also say we're willing to live that discipleship lifestyle that, that God calls us to. That's to deny ourselves, to pick up our cross and say, this is life. And so really we're starting this week in Matthew chapter 28, which many of us, if we grew up in the church, we probably know this verse.
Yeah, your whole sermon is really based off of just a couple of verses.
It really is. And, you know, that was that way too last week as he hit Luke and the aspect of denying ourselves. And so I just want to read this just to review again. We might know this, but just to listen to this in Matthew 28, verses 18 through 20, Jesus' final words. And I always think the last thing Jesus told us before he ascended to heaven, the last thing he told those that he had been walking and living life with for 3 years, this is what he says. He says, all right, all authority has been given to me in heaven on earth. He's like, so what I'm about to tell you, this is a big deal. So listen up. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to observe everything I've commanded you. And remember, I am with you always to the end of the age. And we've been talking about this, even as we've been meeting with Grow Group leaders over the last month and sharing the heart of where we're kind of going as a church that's that we get to talk about in this message. But as we look at this verse, we usually think missions. In fact, if you hear a mission sermon, you're going to hear this verse show up in that. And I think the challenge that I wanted to say is I do not think this is a missions verse, because what Jesus is actually telling us to do is not to go do missions. We'll come back to that in a minute. But really the challenge of this is to go make disciples. And then as he gets into that, he says, now here's how we go about it. The mission we have is disciple making. The mission, the call to us is being disciples. And now that he goes into, he says, now let me describe what that looks like for you. And this is where we get missions is a part of that. And he first speaks to you and he says, all right, baptize them. And the reason baptism is here is because for the early church, and I think this is a really thing to take note of, is the mark of someone who has committed their life to follow Christ was usually the next step was baptism. It was, you might want to say the induction into the church. This was, this is how people would say, I've been baptized into the church. Not that baptism saved us. And this is such an important distinction to make. The early church, and Jesus was not saying that baptism is salvation. He was saying baptism is where we're starting, because all before that is evangelism. They get saved. They decide to surrender life to Paul Christ. The first step of that act of obedience, bringing them into life of the church, was baptism. And so that's the first piece of it. The next one, though, is teaching them to observe everything I've commanded you. Other translations will say teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. And so the next mark of a disciple is someone that doesn't just study the teachings of Jesus, doesn't just know the teachings of Jesus. The actual mark of a disciple is someone who is actually living the teachings of Jesus.
Wow.
And I think this is probably one of the most important distinctions that we can make, of discipleship is I've grown up in the church, and I feel like I grew up more of a mindset that discipleship was a class I took, and that the mark of a disciple was how much I knew. So the more I knew about the teaching of Jesus, or really the more I knew about the Bible, the more knowledge I had of the verses, the context, the deeper meaning, even if the more I could grow enough to now, you know, get in my blue letter Bible or whatever it might be to study the Greek or the Hebrew, that was the mark of a growing disciple. And I think what we did is we inserted just teaching them what Jesus said, because, and we took out the phrase that's essential to discipleship lifestyle, which is teaching them to obey. And so as we teach others to obey, so the call is to us, if we're truly passionately following Christ, denying ourselves, the mark of a daily disciple is living what Jesus has called us to do.
Yeah, I think there's a both end in there with it, that teaching to observe, because I think it takes it out of just the realm of the classroom experience into that dynamic of there's life being lived here, examples here, there's a tight knit, because how do I know that I am teaching you to observe if I'm not somehow with you to see it, you're applying it to your life.
Yes.
There has to be that accountability. Then you look over in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 9, and Paul says this, what you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things and the God of peace will be with you. And so there's this dynamic there, and even watching his discipleship making life and how he'd bring people along, of course he would teach them. But he would also show them. He would also do things with them so that they could apply it.
Yeah.
Similar to Jesus, he would send them out, because obviously he would leave Timothy at a spot to do something, and then he would say, come to me, or just all of these things. And so I agree with you that whether it's observe or obey, it doesn't just say teach them to observe or teach them to obey. There carries with that a more focused approach to discipleship that is more than just the classroom experience. And again, how are you going to measure that discipleship experience if you don't have enough personal connectivity or relationship with that individual to see that they are getting it, that they're living it in their life, if there's no accountability? And so I think that really will speak to a lot of what we're going to talk about today is there has to be that connection. And I'm sure we're going to cover it, but you know, you even see it in the life of Jesus and how he instructed his disciples. Yeah, there was a lot of one-to-many teachings, but there was also some very unique and special, more personal, smaller group type teaching and discipleship that happened in that life that was lived together. And anyways, I don't want to get too far, because
no, that's all right.
That's where you're going.
I mean, we've been, you know, just in full disclosure, we've been living this, walking this, discussing this, really prayerfully seeking God on this for a year now, as really this team right here, along with the elders, of saying, all right, God, we really know we need to be a church that makes disciples. And so on Sunday, we talked about, we'll talk about in the message, and leaders, you would have heard this already, the discipleship pathway or model that Jesus gives us. And we kind of worded it as by the numbers. And to be really clear, it is, the numbers are a figurative picture for us. They are to give us an example.
And I think that's so important to be clear, because you've got those of us who are literal that really think a girl group can only be 12.
Yes.
And I can only be really good friends with two other people.
Yes. Yes. That is right. Totally fair. And so to recognize, when we talk about the pathway of Jesus and the example that he gave us by the numbers, it is to give us a picture of how we go about fulfilling the Great Commission. I think of it like this, and is that Jesus had been living out disciple making with his followers. He'd been living this out with all those that were following him, more specifically living it out with his 12. And we'll get into that a little bit more. But and so when he is saying to them, and this is, like I said, his last command, his last words, all right, now go make disciples. I think it's correct to say what he's saying is now go do what I was doing. Mm-hmm. What we have done as a group now, and to know what he said in other places, hang out in Jerusalem until the Holy Spirit comes and then go do what we've been doing. Mm-hmm. Spread out and go make this happen across the nations. First in Jerusalem, Judea, then to the end of the mm-hmm. end of the world. And so I think that's a big piece of this great challenge. And this is why we went to the discipleship pathway numbers mm-hmm. by Jesus as we went to look at that. And so, this is, if you're watching this before we've actually gone to the message, at least hopefully this will make sense more as we get into the message. I don't want to repeat the whole message here, mm-hmm. but the emphasis of this is to recognize one of the core examples of disciple making that we see in the life of Jesus. Thad, you begin to allude to this, was two key things. One was Jesus did teach. Mm-hmm. He taught masses and he taught small groups. But in that, often as an overflow of his teaching to the masses, he would go deeper in that mm-hmm. with his disciples, whether it was the 12 or maybe the 60 people that were with him or those that maybe were going from the next town with him. He might teach 5,000 mm-hmm. people or 3,000 or 2,000 or 500, whatever it may have been at that time. But often he then would say, now let me help you understand this more. And that as our senior pastor, as the one who really carries that first pulpit preaching every Sunday, how do you see this reflected in kind of what we do now? Because we have our teaching on Sunday morning, but then our call primarily to our grow groups is to take what we've done on Sunday and go deeper than that. Mm-hmm. Share your heart for how you see that reflected in the model of Jesus.
Yeah, so I've often said, you know, if I could only have one model of doing church for whatever reason, mm-hmm. I would go with sermon-based. Or that idea of there's a big teaching mm-hmm. on Sunday morning. And then, you know, you go to sermon-based grow group, small group, mm-hmm. you unpack that and you have this, yes, there's a rehearsing of what was said to a degree and mm-hmm. you read the scripture and you do all of these things, but then you start to talk about through questions and things like this, how do I apply this to my life?
Right.
You know, how do I take this? When I was actually doing one of my doctoral works or whatever, that was what I wanted to actually wrote on this because I thought it was so powerful. The idea that you could take that teaching on Sunday morning mm-hmm. and then at another time during the week, you really focus on how to apply that, how to live that out, mm-hmm. how to live that life of a disciple mm-hmm. Through that teaching. And I was like, oh my goodness, this is so empowering because you're consistently thinking of that teaching. Mm-hmm. It stays with you. You are joining up with another group of individuals into application. Mm-hmm. You see Jesus teaching it to the masses and then unpacking it more mm-hmm. in smaller groups. You see this often in the Bible, Jesus doing this. And then what's even more beautiful when we start talking about transformation groups, you know, you see Jesus even with the three. I mean, I think it was 2 days ago, I was reading about Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane and he pulled Peter and James and John aside, kind of pulled them even more to it and said, man, I'm struggling. I'm struggling to deep sorrow. Mm-hmm. All of this, would you pray with me? So he even shared these deeper components of life with him. And so mm-hmm. for me, when I start thinking about the discipleship pathway and by the numbers, I see this larger group teaching. Mm-hmm. Then I see the beauty of this teaching to obey or observe or to apply and having that closer knit group of say 12 or 15 or whatever it is that you're really working on that. And then from those even deeper levels or even more sensitive areas in life, there's even a smaller group there that you can say, walk with me in this because this is so hard. Mm-hmm. And so when I see this happening in churches and more mm-hmm. Across the country, I think, man, we're catching a real biblical model of discipleship that has been there always. Mm-hmm. And it's not that we've done, you know, wrong things in doing other models. It's just, mm-hmm. I think we're getting more at this is a beautiful, actually life-transforming way mm-hmm. of learning, mm-hmm. Becoming a disciple, right? And you can get into the Greek with that, that Jesus modeled for us and that we're simply trying to apply, mm-hmm. trying to get back to those roots, that basic. And man, if it was good enough for the master, it probably needs to be what we're doing. You know, that's what he was pushing us us towards.
Well, and I think that's part of the beautiful thing of this is just realizing we are living in 2021 America, and there are a lot of voices calling our names. Mm. And so I don't even know if you'll get to it in the sermon on Sunday, but I know for those who had training, we just talk about our relational capacity and yeah. what we have to give. And there's only so much of us. We're human. We need to sleep. We need to eat. And so I think this model is just a beautiful thing and helps us to even have a chance of being successful as we're walking with people.
I probably want to throw one more thing out there too. I want to be careful with not, mm-hmm. without just barely getting into something and then mm-hmm. and then stopping.
You're about to open a big can of worms.
Yeah, okay. Maybe. okay. But it's just one of those dynamics. Okay, early believers in this discipleship model. You know, and I'm talking about the earliest believers in the mm-hmm. early church.
Right.
They did not have coalesced all of the New Testament mm-hmm. documents. But they had the truth of Jesus. They had what was modeled before them, mm-hmm. and they changed the world. Or they mm-hmm. began to change the world. Mm-hmm. And it was so powerful. And I, in my times of wrestling through this and other discipleship models, I think David, you and I talked about this a couple of times. Somebody might say, "Well, we want even broader teaching," and that's good. There's broader teaching to be had, but like, mm-hmm. What's my desire here? My desire is for you to apply what you know to life and let it change you. Mm-hmm. So, if you're getting 10% of the whole, but you're applying that, that's changing your life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's right.
Whereas you could have the whole of the teaching, and if you're applying none of it or much less of it, it's not really furthered you. Mm-hmm.
Or the kingdom, for that matter.
And mm-hmm. so, I would rather see us applying what we know fully to our lives rather than knowing so much and applying less of it. Mm-hmm. And I think that's, because you're asking what's the heart of it yeah. too. Mm-hmm. It's, man, over the course of time, if you apply what we're teaching, because we're a large expositional church that goes through books of the Bible, mm-hmm. man, that is New Testament, that is mm-hmm. early church, that is how they would have done it. Paul would have written a letter to a church, they would have received that church, and anyone talked to them earlier, and they would have come back, they would have read that that document to the church and said, "Let's apply this," mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And that's what we're doing. Mm-hmm. And you take what that is, and you apply it to your life. You'll learn mm-hmm. more and apply it to your life, and learn more to apply your life. Because even in educational theory, mm-hmm. You take a base and learn from it and add to it. Mm-hmm. You don't just skip all over the place because mm-hmm. you can't connect the dots. Mm-hmm. So even within pedagogy or educational theory, they would also encourage you to do it that way, mm-hmm. which is, that's how Jesus did it. Mm-hmm.
I think it's important to note, and you alluded to this, that there's levels of this. And we saw this in the ministry of Jesus. We'll see this in the sermon. We talk about the numbers of Jesus, that you began to allude to that deeper level that... Mm-hmm. Is we know about Jesus' disciples, that 12. And for us at Bethany, we want to parallel that to what our grow groups are. Mm-hmm. Is though that 12 represents that grow group community, which is essential to the discipleship life. And it's the model that Jesus gave mm-hmm. us. And yet even Jesus understood there's only so much depth you can have with 12 people. Now, the great part about the 12 is that it's easier to stay in contact with each other. It's easier to watch out for each other. It's easier to see the lifestyle that we're living because this is so important. This is why it's through grow groups and not through potentially other models, is because it's essential that husbands and wives, or the people that we're doing life with, or the closest friends we have in our life, it is essential we're doing this together. One of the things we talked about in training, and I don't know if I'll get to it on Sunday, I might, but is that when we tend to kind of just create all these little different pockets of things we might do, we kind of have our grow group, we kind of have our Bible study, we might have this is really our best friend over here, not connected to any of those things. We quickly create... you alluded to this a minute ago, mm-hmm. but we don't have the relational capacity to go in depth with all of these the way we need to mm-hmm. within our own lives of sharing, of growing, of challenging. Mm-hmm. But the other piece too that I think is so important that I've seen in the life of the church and seen in my own life, so hear this as well, mm-hmm. is that it's really easy to hide.
Very easy to hide.
And mm-hmm. so the essential, we talked about the first piece of the model of Jesus that we saw was this big to small group teaching example that he gave us. But the other piece also is that in the discipleship relations of Jesus, the way he did discipleship, he built from the same core of people. Mm-hmm. He had the whole church, those that were, you know, the big groups that might have been following him, ended up being that 120th on mm-hmm. the day of Pentecost. We talk about that in the message. But then he had his 12. But then out of his 12, mm-hmm. he had his three. Mm-hmm. So out of the 120, he had a 12, but mm-hmm. out of that same group. Mm-hmm. Then out of that 12, he had his three. Mm-hmm. And those are the ones that, you know, as you alluded to, that maybe as we get more sensitive topics, or really we need to pour a little bit of ourselves more, we need to go deeper with. And so the way we're talking about that, and within our grow group world with the life of Bethany, mm-hmm. is as we call our grow groups that 12, that deeper level that Jesus, which was his three. His three were his Peter, James, and John. Mm-hmm. And we talk and about that in light of this is going to be what we call our transformation groups. Mm-hmm. This is huge in light of recognizing the need to go deeper. But specifically, these are gender based. We need to have all of us together, mm-hmm. husbands and wives, men and women, families, single, mm-hmm. married. Like we need the grow group dynamic where all of us are together, because I want someone to see how my wife and I are doing together. Mm-hmm. I need, in fact, if I'm going to be a better husband, someone needs to see how good of a husband I'm being mm-hmm. when we're together. But at the same time, that as they observe that, they're probably better off challenging me when I get together with just the guys. Mm-hmm. And they say, hey, David, man, you just seemed like you were short with Amy mm-hmm. last couple of weeks at Grow Group. Mm-hmm. Now, if all I did was just Grow Group with one group and I didn't go deeper with these men who saw my life and I had a totally different group of people, which is not the model Jesus had, but often we have done in the church world. Mm-hmm. They may never see how I treat my wife. Mm-hmm. They may never see how I live differently. And I might even realize it. And so they may even say, David, how's your marriage going? I'm so oblivious. Mm-hmm. It's going great, guys. Mm-hmm. But then if they are watching at the same time, oh, it may seem like it's going great, but we're seeing a couple of things. Let's talk through those a little mm-hmm. bit. This is the essential part of discipleship, because if I'm going to see where I need to obey Jesus more, I need to see the areas of my life that aren't in line with the teachings of Jesus, mm-hmm. that aren't in following him. And I, let's just be honest, how many of us really, really can do that on our own? Okay. I don't see my weaknesses.
Mm-hmm. And I know that's one of our grow group questions is just, do you even believe that this lifestyle is necessary? I think we've talked specifically about gentlemen, maybe my age and a little younger, and thinking that they're an island unto themselves. And some of our older gentlemen have said, this is hard. I can do this on my own with just my wife, with just Jesus, and seeing the importance of having that iron sharpening iron. I think of just even an example that I could think of is maybe something happens between Andy and I, and I'm just so used to it that I don't even realize, oh, I didn't talk to him correctly, or Andy's so used to it. And David could say something to Don and say, like, I would have been really embarrassed if you would have done that. And then Don can help me realize I embarrassed Andy in a group setting. Oh, like, does that make sense?
There's absolutely.
The individual gender thing is beautiful. But oftentimes I think as we're doing our own dances, we don't even see the missteps. And so to have friends be part of our lives that can help us see those missteps and challenge us in a loving way is a beautiful gift. So
you're speaking to something I want to like kind of pause to take a quick
derail.
This is so good though, because mm-hmm. what you're talking about, to even have that dynamic, we have to basically have permission within our community to mm-hmm. do that. Because that can be really awkward, mm-hmm. right? Like we have to be pretty mm-hmm. Trusting or even mm-hmm. vulnerable to say, you know, Tammy, I saw you do this, or David, I saw you do this or mm-hmm. that. And so one of the things that we're asking all our grow groups to do in the month of September, hopefully in these next 2 weeks, is to go through our what we call our grow group covenant. Mm-hmm. Some of you may have done it before, some of you may have not. But the reason why this is so important, this practically, it's just a one-page thing, but it allows us as a group to say, what is it that we're committing to as a part of this grow group? Mm-hmm. What are we giving permission for each other to do? Mm-hmm. But also, what are we committing to as a level of confidentiality? Mm-hmm. Even as I might see that, it ain't leaving this group. Mm-hmm. I'm going to come to you. I'm not talking to anybody else about this. Mm-hmm. If you share this vulnerable thing going on in your life, it stays right here. But we're also saying it doesn't just stay here, but we're going to pray for you here mm-hmm. outside of it. It's just, it's not a commitment to just what takes place at Grow Group. Because what we're talking about is not a meeting that takes place once a week. Mm-hmm. We're talking about being, and we'll talk about this on Sunday, a mini church community mm-hmm. that is living a discipleship lifestyle. Mm-hmm. A I come back to what Thad challenged us with last week. You can't passionately follow Christ, or there's no other way to passionately follow Christ, but to passionately follow Christ. Mm-hmm. There's no other way to follow him, but to passionately do it. And in the same way, there's no other way to follow Christ without choosing to say, I'm willing to live a discipleship lifestyle. Mm-hmm. Otherwise I'm just kind of have the Christian box. And then I've got the rest of my life. And though it's easy to get into that, mm-hmm. The Great Commission, the call to who the church is, has mm-hmm. is got to be, go deep in that. So please go through that Grow Group covenant. Mm-hmm. If you're not a leader, but you're watching this, or help me maybe help remind your leader to go through that as well. It's on the church website with our Grow Group questions this week. And to kind of get permission to do the things we're talking about. That's why that's so important, is we talk about in our elder meetings, we have elder norms. Right, we have meeting norms that are a commitment to confidentiality, a commitment to how we're going to treat each other, a commitment to how we're going to pray to each other. It helps us remind each other on a regular basis. This is how we do life together as an elder team, and we need that within our Grow Group world as well.
Mm-hmm. It gives you confidence to be able to share, because it creates and sets expectations.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I know I can share with you because we have a common understanding of what's. Mm-hmm. What's not to be shared elsewhere, mm-hmm. or what's happening there. Just in a moment, talking about how all of this is lining up and how this has been such a work with the elders. If you go in the midst of this conversation, if you go to our website, again, I keep seeing this, mm-hmm. and you look at our values, because values are like guardrails that keep us running on the tracks. So we value the Bible, and it says here, we have the highest regard for God's inspired word. We stress the importance of opening the Bible and applying the truths that will transform mm-hmm. our lives. Then you go right down to the family, and we encourage all generations to come alongside and equip families to grow in faith and maturity in Christ. Again, husband and wife in the Grow Group, families, mm-hmm. another focus there, staying right on track with our values. Mm-hmm. Loving relationships. We go beyond surface level interactions, right? How do we do that? Grow Groups. Devoted to relationships by treating everyone as Jesus did, with dignity, respect, and love. Missional living. Mm-hmm. How you know we're intentionally commit our hearts, resources, and time as we interact with people in our church, homes, neighborhoods, etc. So with missional living, how do you know that you're living missionally? Well, you can't do that outside of some type of accountability and application group.
Yeah, that's good.
So if you look at our values, and as we're walking through this sermon series and we're seeing these things, we are aligning with our values, we're aligning with our mission, we're aligning with our vision. Mm-hmm. All of these things are lining up beautifully to keep us focused and moving forward in this discipleship lifestyle. And so, again, everything that we are as a church, I feel like it's being clearly communicated, and it's pretty exciting mm-hmm. when you think about it going into the future. Mm-hmm. And I just kind of wanted to throw that out there.
So people see that, like, I'm so glad you made that connection. Yeah. That is mm-hmm. In all of this, we'll say this on Sunday, I said it in our training with our leaders, I want to say it again right now, we never leave the discipleship life. I think there's almost this piece of, I've been discipled, now it's my turn to go disciple someone else, mm-hmm. as if now I've arrived and now I'll help someone else arrive. I'm going to say this on Sunday. Maybe I'll say it too many times. Sammy says I repeat myself way too much, but I will say this.
He really does.
Till I'm blue in the face. But I need discipleship in my life right now. Someone discipling me, speaking in my life, just as much as I did on the first day I surrendered my life to follow Christ. Mm-hmm. Because discipleship as a lifestyle means, unless I at some point think I am now literally obeying every command that Jesus has given me, every standard of what it means to be a follower of Christ, and you can just look at me and say, boom, there he has arrived. Until that moment occurs, which all of us knows does not occur in this life, mm-hmm. I need to be discipled, because I need to be continually growing in my relationship with God. Mm-hmm. And how I live for him. And scripture echoes this so much. And I cannot do this by myself. This is why, as Dad said a minute ago, we don't just passionately follow Jesus. We have to passionately follow Jesus together. This is why. And we've had people ask us about this before, but this is why we say, if you're part of the Bethany family, which we want you to be actively a part of, mm-hmm. outside of first maybe coming, like most people do on a Sunday morning, and experience teaching and worship, the very next thing mm-hmm. to being a part of the Bethany family is to be a part of a Grow Group community. Mm-hmm. And there's probably maybe some that maybe watch this that aren't a part of that, or you've wondered, yeah, but I have other things I do. Please hear our heart. It is not because it's just this program that we do at a church. Mm. It is not. It's because this is this thing that we just want to make sure our numbers look good. No. It really is. Man, we want to be a church that's all about making disciples. Mm-hmm. We want to be a church that really is about passionately follow Jesus. And we just practically know in the example of Jesus, in the examples of scripture, an example of the New Testament church, we cannot do that just based off Sunday morning. Mm-hmm. We have to do the next level. And to build that mm-hmm. model of Jesus from the model of Jesus really is our grow groups. Mm-hmm. And then building from that, and this is the new thing we're revealing right now, really is the transformational group, mm-hmm. going deeper, gender-based, deeper study of God's word with deeper accountability and application, mm-hmm. because we want to continue to be transformed. That's why they're called transformation groups. Mm-hmm. We want to continually be transformed mm-hmm. to the image of Christ and who he wants us to be. Mm-hmm.
Well, I feel like there's so many paths we can go down, but I think we're running out of time. Have we hit our 30 minutes?
I honestly have no clue.
How many times
you may know when we started. We're like looking back to our recording right now just to let us know how long we've been going. It's about five minutes.
Oh, we have 5 minutes.
All right. So okay. Cool. We'll take the 5 minutes.
Hey, was that one of our moments? Like if we were like the Saturday night talk show, whatever, we look over to someone else and
them, like, I mean, if we were live with Regis and Kathy Lee, we would have asked Gilman? Much time we had. Yes. So Josh could be our Gilman. And I know I dated myself with Regis and Kathy.
You really, really did. I remember watching that when I was 10 in homeschool.
Okay. Yep. So, there you go.
There's been like two or three transitions since that time, right? After that show. Mm-hmm. So with the 5 minutes, again, talking about Sunday morning, there's so much we can do on Sunday morning, but there's so many one another's in the Bible mm-hmm. that to be able to do those effectively, you're going to need to be in groups, mm-hmm. right? To be able to
have a
depth of knowledge with someone, to be able to serve them in some of the ways in which the Bible talks about mm-hmm. being able to serve, mm-hmm. right? And so it's just one of those dynamics to where I think a grow group is a non-negotiable for the Christian life, to be able to truly disciple and to work into and to serve mm-hmm. other people. And again, Sunday morning, you can serve, you can do so many of those things. But again, to be the most effective, I think that's something that you have to enter into mm-hmm. that discipleship lifestyle. And I agree with David. Growth often occurs with external forces acting with you mm-hmm. and upon you. And so it's just this dynamic to where you don't want to be in this neutral place in your Christian life, because mm-hmm. I really think there is no neutral. You're either walking forward and moving forward and growing, or you're receding in some way. Mm-hmm. The idea of holding static or constant or being by yourself alone in a vacuum is not only not biblical, but even practically unhealthy. Mm-hmm. And we're not going to grow that way. How do you grow your muscles? Where you have a force against them, right? Mm-hmm. There's an external impact there, force them to work and grow and all of this. We need other people, iron sharpening iron. We need other people working with mm-hmm. us to keep us growing, to keep us pushing, mm-hmm. To keep us maturing. Mm-hmm. And so, again, that can't happen outside mm-hmm. of relationships.
Mm-hmm. So I think if there was three challenges, I think that maybe out of this week, both in the podcast, in our grow groups, out of the message on Sunday, really out of the message the last 2 weeks, I think the three things I want to really challenge, especially for those, one, if you're not in a grow group, it's time. Mm-hmm. But allow Tammy and I to help you do that. This is what drives us. It's not just about just randomly throwing someone in something. We are so purposeful about helping people find a community that they can feel safe in, that they can mm-hmm. live life with, that they can walk life with, they can do a discipleship lifestyle with, be loved, be challenged, be safe, all of those things. And so we work hard to make that work well and to help people find that right mini church community mm-hmm. To build from what we're doing on Sunday morning. So please, if you're not in that, contact mm-hmm. us, fill out a connection card, mark grow groups. We'll get back to you mm-hmm. Within a couple of weeks and try to connect with you on that. But for those in grow groups, two big things this week. One, I think it's good to have a real honest conversation. We've had two hard challenges last week on what, and this week on the how. Mm-hmm. And how are we doing with that? Because for some, this might feel a little overwhelming. Maybe it feels like, whoa, my church is all of a sudden asking a lot mm-hmm. Out of me. And yet I want you to know, this is a life that, for many years I've been living with my church and my grow group family. And I actually find it easier because when I'm building out of the same community in my life, mm-hmm. I actually find it more natural. It doesn't feel like I'm trying to make another meeting. It doesn't feel like I'm trying to show up, at another study, or I'm trying to just go meet with that next group over there. Like it, there's a very natural side of it that actually I think feels less consuming of our time and emotional energy and more empowering to that. And so that's, I want to encourage you that as grow groups, the two things, do the covenant, talk about who you are and why you exist. And then secondly, to say, how can we begin? It's a process to walk this discipleship pathway, mirroring the model of Jesus in our church, in our life, in our community.
Well, thank you for joining us. We've had a great discussion, which I feel like I'm the lucky one that I get to do this with you guys and dig deeper. So have a great week. Thank you.